The following episode contains sensitive topic information that may not be appropriate for young listeners, as well as religious or other views that may not reflect those of the Sirens team.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
Hey, everybody, and hey out there to those listening. And if you're tuning in on YouTube, you can see our smiling faces. We're so excited to be back with you tonight. And we have kind of a surprise for you tonight. We've got some personal experiences from a member of our team. So before we get into that, though, I just want to ask y'all how you're doing and how your week's been. We had the eclipse on Monday, and the world didn't end like they said it might. I don't know of any, you know, crazy, weird things that happen, except I've been seeing that clip on social media all over the place of people who were videoing the eclipse, and they got that black thing flying through the sky. Ron, you haven't seen it? Lindsay has seen
that one.
Yeah, we'll have to share it on our socials and stuff, because it is crazy. You cannot tell what it is. Way too fast to be in the shape of it and everything. Anyway, that was all.
Did y'all see it? I didn't see it. It was too cloudy and rainy here.
Right. It was here too. How about you, Ryan?
No, I haven't even seen the eclipse. So, and I didn't see the eclipse. I was working and kept looking up, but it was too overcast. There's too many clouds. Yeah. I looked all over, but I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
Now, after the fact, it got really bright later on after, you know, everything was supposed to happen when the clouds separated. The sun was super, super bright, but the actual event itself, I didn't get to see.
Yeah, and I was kind of let down. We didn't get to see it here where I am either, but I did see a lot of good videos that people have posted. Mm-hmm. It was pretty awesome. And so I guess they say the next one's what, 2044 or something like that, maybe?
Yeah.
We'll do an episode on it.
Yeah, we'll be around doing episodes in 2044 or 2044. Yeah. But we've gotten a lot more followers. I want to give a shout out to all the paranormal podcast buddies out there who are following us and showing us the love on our socials and sharing about us in their stories and all that. And if you missed last week's episode, you'll want to go back and listen to that one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Ron, you didn't get to be with us. Have you gotten to listen to it yet?
Not all of it. Like I said, this last week has been really hectic. I've been having to change a lot of stuff around. But like I said, I plan on digging into it and listening to it probably after we record it. So
yeah, it's whew, mind-blowing stuff.
Mind-blowing. Yeah. Really interesting.
So this week, Ryan is going to share some personal experiences that he has had in the past, and we'll let him tell you all about it. And I think you have two stories for us, right?
Correct. Yes.
So we'll take a break after the first one and we'll discuss before we go into the second one, because I know we're going to want to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're going to put on some eerie music in the background and let you tell us about your experience.
All right. So hang on. This is a wild one.
Hang on. You're nervous?
Yeah. All right. I'm a little nervous. So, like I said, to set it up, you know, of course, we was all raised in the mountains. We was all around paranormal, supernatural stuff. I'm going to go ahead and just jump into it. I'll kind of set everything up for you. I'm going to call this the home. That's what I would call it. And growing up in the mountains surrounded by the darkest of nights and stories of haunts and monsters filled my childhood. As a kid, we knew and saw bears and panthers and copperheads and whatnot, but it was the things that went bumping at night that we didn't see that always intrigued me. On weekends and every chance we had, the VCR was constantly showing scary movies from vampires, werewolf witches, yes, demons and possession movies. The things coming across the screen was enough to terrify even the bravest of souls. I read and researched a wide range of supernatural stories and occurrences, and upon adulthood, I was always curious, wanting to see things float or move or maybe even see an exorcism or something out of the ordinary. So, you know, those are the things I always grew up, you know, I wanted to know how real it was. I've seen and heard a few things out there, and then I worked at the place I called the home, and my life would change forever. And what you're about to hear is not for the faint of heart or weak-minded, and the words I speak are true and will terrify some of you to your very soul. I have changed all the names and to protect the innocent and the true identities of those involved. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it. And I did write this down. I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss any details. So without further ado, we're going to jump into it and sit back and get ready. So I'd been unemployed a while, and jobs in my areas were scarce, and most did not pay very well at all. It was sheer luck, or so I thought at the time, that I ran into a cousin, and after talking for a few minutes, I found out that a local group home for the handicapped, but mostly those whose minds operated a little bit more of a teen-based or a slower-based instead of a fully mature adult. The pay wasn't the best, but it wasn't a far drive and not very demanding. It was a good job to have until something better came along. So why not? It's a good idea, right? The clients were all nice, and I learned how to take care of them properly. Each had their own unique personalities and health issues, but it was a good job that I actually began to like. As soon as I started becoming more acquainted with the coworkers, stories of the supernatural type started becoming a regular topic, especially those that happened there at the various four homes that we alternated working. Some were unaffected, while others had regular experiences, from hearing strange sounds to having chairs pulled out from under them while they were all alone sitting at the desk doing their paperwork. I had not experienced anything, and though curious and open-minded, I just left it open to whatever until the night that started the snowball effect that changed my life and that will stay with me forever, and it's with me until this very day. I and a coworker, let's call her Sue, were doing paperwork around 11-ish one night. The clients were all asleep, and it was nice and quiet, until suddenly the peace and silence were broken by a sound that was unhuman, a scream that was half beast, half woman, half monster. Heck, words cannot describe it, to be honest. The sheer look of Sue's face was a pure terror. It confused me as much as the sound itself. I asked, "What's that?" And Sue said, "It's Valerie. She has night terrors." As the screams chilled me to the bone, we got up and began down the long hallway to Valerie's room. It was the last door on the right. I was about a quarter of the way down the hallway when I noticed I couldn't feel Sue near me. I turned around, and what I saw made it more terrifying. Sue had her shoulder and head against the wall, inching ever so slowly, heel-to-toe type, down the hallway behind me. Confused, I walked behind her and leaned into her ear and whispered, "What are you doing?" She said, "Never run into her room. You have to be careful. You never know what you might run into or what you'll see." What the heck, I'm thinking. It ran through my mind as we continued down the hall. The only light in the room was the light from the hallway, and Valerie was screaming / growling as it looked like she was fighting something that was not there. Sue went to the side of the bed closest to the door as I went around to the far side. We softly talked to Valerie, and I sat on the bed gently and placed my hands on Valerie's hands to keep her from accidentally hitting us. After a few moments, we were able to calm Valerie down, and once calm, she explained a monster was trying to get her and that she was scared. Finally, Valerie calmed down and went to sleep. Once settled back in the main room, I found out things that kind of made me think that these might be more than just night terrors. Valerie had had these occurrences regularly and only weighed about 100 pounds and stood less than 5 foot tall. During one such night terror, Valerie, with only one hand, grabbed the wrist of an employee and squeezed so hard that the employee's arm up to her elbow turned almost black for a month. Outside of these terrors, Valerie was kind and sweet, and yes, she had the occasional issues, but it was like Jekyll and Hyde. Sometimes we would bring up church and Jesus just to give her a sense of faith in the belief system to see if it would help. And in my experience, it always turned bad, real bad. One day, Valerie's on the front porch sitting in a rocking chair that sat a little too high for her, and her feet didn't touch the floor. I was talking to her as it was almost time for dinner. The subject of her terrors came up, and I asked her if her praying had helped, and then I saw her face change under her face. It was horrifying, like something was under her skin, like the possession scene from the Exorcist movie. It was like looking at a face moving on her face like a hologram. Though her feet were not even touching the ground, the rocking chair began moving back and forth faster and faster as she, or it, stared at me with this hideous, monstrous gaze. I turned and quickly walked away, saying, "Dinner's ready when you want to eat." Another time, Valerie had gotten sick and had to spend the night in the hospital. She was recovering fine, and it was almost time for me to be relieved and go home. The nurses were doing something, so I stepped out. Something for her, so I stepped out in the hallway. As I waited, I felt the need to pray for Valerie and also praying with her before I left. The nurses left, and I began talking to Valerie and asked her if she wanted me to pray with her or for her. She just looked at me, and I got the strangest feeling, something that wasn't Valerie was looking at me through Valerie's eyes, and it was very unnerving. I had this feeling all the way home that I just couldn't shake. Little did I know, I did not leave the hospital alone that night. Things started happening at my home. My son began having bad dreams, night terrors. Also, I'd be taking a shower after work around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and everybody else would be asleep in the house. The bathroom door would open by itself, even after numerous times that I ensured the doors closed properly but not locked. Strange noises and things would happen at times. I would be woken up by something touching or grabbing or breathing on me, though nothing would be there. The neighbors had a cat that every time we would open the front door would run into the house, straight through the living room, down the hall, and hide under my bed. That is until the Valerie hospital incident. It was a few days after when, sure enough, my son and I were leaving, and as soon as the door opened, the cat ran into the house, through the living room, and halfway down the hallway, but then stopped on a dime and whoosh, almost knocked my son down running back out of the house. My son looked at me and said, "Dad, that's weird. Why did it do that?" Suddenly, I realized why. There was something in the house, my house. I ended up having to have my family prayed over my home blessed and got rid of that malevolent spirit. This is just but one of my experiences at the home. With one of the clients, some are very mild in comparison, while others are much, much worse. So if you're like me and yearn to experience something, be careful what you ask for. And reality cannot be turned off like a TV when it gets to be too much or things become too real. So that's the story that I have of one of my experiences there at the home. It's true. Like I said, I tried to read it to where I couldn't forget any details. But, you know, that's actually a true event. So if y'all have any questions or anything for me, I'm prepared to take them.
Ron, how part that, like, gets me the most from that whole story was when you said, like, her face changed underneath her face. That is one of the creepiest things I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, it was terrifying. Like,
I can picture it in my head, but that's, oh, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I do not like it.
How old was she, Ryan?
She was in her early 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was young. But like I said, her mentality was not quite at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, like I said, they're just nice, quiet, you know, normal people, you know, and for the passerby, this is the scariest part. For people that pass by or only around for a few moments at a time or just in passing would never know anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this could be happening to your friends, your neighbors, you know, your best friend. And these events will maybe never be known to you, even though they're happening right under your nose or right beside you.
And you said that whenever you would mention religion, Jesus, praying, that's when it would seem to come to the surface.
Yes, and like I said, I didn't really start that. There were other people there that were very religious. You know, we did have some preachers and some very devout churchgoers, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they didn't push anything, and I didn't push anything on, you know. But some of them, you know, we did, those mm-hmm. that wanted to go, we would take them to church on Sundays and things like that. And, you know, we would ask, hey, you know, do you want us to pray for you? Hey, how about this? And it wasn't like something we tried to force on people.
Yeah.
It was something that was like an option, you know. And sometimes in the mood, even, you know, this person would be like, yeah, you know, prayer works, you know, yeah, pray for me. And then other times it wasn't as effective, but every time you were start to pray, or, you know, or if that topic were brought up, not just by myself or other people, it seemed to kind of agitate whatever what was going on.
Were you, as a worker there, were you privy to, like, what had happened to her up to this point in life, like what her life had been like?
Not really. Nobody really talked about it. I mean, they talked about it, you know, and everybody kind of went with their day-to-day. Nothing really stood out,
yeah.
You know, that you would think, you know, it wasn't like I found out something that happened during her childhood that maybe mm-hmm. she wouldn't have, or abuse or something like that. It was just, these people, sometimes they didn't have the mentality that they were supposed to have. You know, maybe mm-hmm. a teenage, a 20-year-old having a mentality of an 8-year-old or mm-hmm. a 13-year-old. It was just less fortunate, you know, or somebody that was handicapped or maybe Bell's palsy or something, yeah. You know. But I never did find out really what happened or where the source was. And like, nobody really talked about that. They're just like, hey, be careful. Yeah. This is what you look for, you know. And when you first start somewhere, of course, the first couple of days, first week, nobody's really going to say anything.
Yeah.
Until you start experiencing and you start talking to people, and then kind of like, that's what happened here.
Yeah.
You know, so it was interesting. Like I
said, it makes me wonder, too, if, like, people who, you know, are mentally challenged in some way like that, if, well, and it kind of makes me mad that, like, if there are spirits out there, evil spirits or whatever, that would take advantage of that, you know, just because maybe they're easier targets or something like
that. Yeah, just like anybody that's a little bit more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think they target a lot of people like that. I mean, of course, you know, there's going to be people in the world that they use to push certain things. Of course, they've got to be powerful, intelligent. But there are others that just like to cause havoc, that like to control people and do things just because they can, because maybe they're not mentally strong enough to hold off.
Right.
Maybe they don't know the difference between reality and not reality, or, you mm-hmm. know, subconsciously they're not very strong.
Right.
You know, but they could always tell something wasn't right, regardless of what the situation was.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of upset me too. I'm like, you know, well, why are they picking on these people? Why are they using these? But I know why. It's because they can.
Mm-hmm. So, and then using fear, you know, working fear on the people around them that are taking care of them.
Right.
I thought it was when you said you were in her room, and or when you saw her face changing like that, and she was looking at you with eyes that didn't seem like hers, you're like, okay, see ya, dinner's ready when you want.
I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, when she was on the rocking chair and it started rocking that way, and her face was like, you can see like a face under her face, and it's like moving.
Ugh.
What are you supposed to say? I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I knew what to do or exactly what to do, because, you know, or exactly what you're dealing with. So I'm just like, okay, you know, dinner's ready when you want in, I'll set you a plate. You know, do I need to set one plate or two? You know, what are you supposed to do? So I did. I went in, you know, and I'm like, you know, trying not to show everybody else, because that particular home, I had like 5 people. So, you know, they had no idea what just happened feet from them.
Did she come in and eat dinner?
Yeah, eventually she came in. And when she came in, she was perfectly fine. She sat down. She ate dinner like nothing had happened. And the people that were in there were already sitting at the dinner table no more than 20 feet from them and had no clue what was going on.
Did her voice, like, ever change or...
Hers did not. No, only when she had night terrors. Mm-hmm. When she had night terrors, she made noises that I don't know how to describe.
Seemed otherworldly or anything.
I mean, it was a combination between feminine slash monstrous slash, it was a combination of pretty much every horrific sound that you could possibly make coming out of one voice at the same time.
Yeah. That sounds terrifying. And I probably wouldn't have worked there as long as you did, but I'm glad that there are people who are called to that and can do that. So before we get into the next story, because I'm anxious to hear it, I'm watching the clock because I have to probably skip out a little early on this episode, but I'm going to listen while I can, and just want to let y'all know that. So go ahead with Lindsay. Did you have anything else? Questions?
No. I can't stop thinking about the face underneath her face.
I know. That's like a scene you would see on a movie or something.
Yeah, I can picture it in my head.
Yeah.
It's shocking because it's like I said at the beginning, and like I said, I did read it, so it wasn't like, I wanted to miss details or anything, and I read it, in the way that I remembered the best. But growing up, we always wanted to see that. You want to experience it. You're like, oh, it'd be so cool to see something fly off a shelf. Or, it'd be kind of cool for, to be touched or, you really wouldn't. Because some of that stuff, it's not just what you see. There's also a feeling that comes along with it. When there's something there that's not supposed to be, you can be looking at something. And even though it could be normal or it could be terrifying, there's a feeling that comes with it that set your body at ease. It's like, okay, your body's like rejecting it. It's like something's not right. And those type of feelings are, I think, as terrifying as what you're seeing or hearing sometimes.
Right. And they stay with you. Obviously, it still bothers you.
I'll never forget some of that stuff. It's like when I watch certain movies, or if I watch The Exorcist, whenever it happens, I'm like, automatically, it's like, I've seen that.
Yeah. How long did you work there total?
About a year.
Oh, wow.
And there was a lot of things. And like I said, I had to work, and I got comfortable, not really, because it was after situations, I knew that there are more powerful things out there, when I had to have my family prayed for and things. So I knew what to do if certain things happened. I also knew, certain things I had to avoid seeing, doing, being around, what to look for. Signs that you look for, you're like, okay, something's about to happen. We need to do something here. So, and then I was talking to some people the other day about other things, and I did some research on to try to find out, because I knew this episode was coming. Some of the people that I dealt with, and some are not necessarily on this episode or stories that I've told yet, had to be moved out because they got to be too much to handle. So they had to be moved out of those homes because they couldn't handle them. They had to put them in something that had to security or the type of employees that can deal with them. Staffing. So, like I said, I wasn't the only one dealing with things. Some of mine were more extreme. Like the next story coming up is pretty crazy. But there's things out there.
And the part that got me was when you said you felt like it followed you home and weird things started happening at your house with your family. That was creepy.
Like I said, learn how to protect yourself. Because you never know. If there is something, what's to stop them from going wherever they want? They can, so whether you believe in that stuff or not, these are true experiences. I've seen them. Hopefully nobody else out there has had them. If you have, and some people hey, I think it's cool. More power to you. I like certain things, but there's certain things I'm like, okay, that's enough.
That's enough. Yeah. Well, is the next story worse?
Yes. In my opinion, I think it is.
Lindsay, are you ready, Lindsay?
I'm really excited for the next one.
Oh. All right, go for it.
Let me get this up. Because again, I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure that for my viewers, I didn't miss any details or anything that. So, all right, so I'm ready. So we'll go ahead and get started here. And So listeners out there, this is part two of the home. This is another experience that I had while I was there. Again, it's absolutely true. I did change the names and things like that for the safety of the people. You know, you never know. You could live right beside of them. It could be in your town over. It could be out of state. It could be anywhere. But I will let you know that this is a true event, and we'll be doing it the same way. I'll be taking questions after. And also, make sure that you write in to our Sirens of the Supernatural Gmail if you have questions or anything. We can follow up on these. Mm-hmm. So, this is part two. The story you're about to hear is true and utterly terrifying. You'll experience a reality that will shatter your very thoughts of life as you know it. Names have been changed to protect those involved because, yes, they are still out there somewhere, even next door. I was working at a group home for those with injuries or handicaps or a mental capacity less than they should have. And I've grown to like and take care of several of the clients that I took care of, especially this one. This happened to be one of my favorites. Now, Chester was in his early 20s. He had the mentality of, say, a 13-year-old. On the surface and on most days, he was sweet as they come and spoke soft like Mike Tyson. But then there were other days. Chester liked to spend his days watching cartoons or playing with his toys, and all was well until suddenly it wasn't. I had heard stories of Chester completely changing his personality, including his appearance and even his voice when he gets agitated, but had never experienced it, and to be honest, I had my doubts. That is until I saw a different side of Chester. A client had spilled a drink in the hallway that I'd mopped up, and that meant that Chester couldn't go in his room yet until the floor dried so that he wouldn't fall. And technically, clients were not supposed to be in the room during this part of the day, and I had put their favorite show on the TV while I cooked their dinner. My partner that evening was assisting also, and Chester was getting anxious and not wanting to listen to us as we tried to get him just to sit and watch TV for a few minutes. Sometimes when the clients got too aggressive or they became disruptive, we would give them meds to help calm them down. And Chester would not leave the kitchen, was becoming very aggressive, which is not good, especially by a hot stove. I asked him if he wanted one of his meds, and he said yes. So I filled a cup about half full, and I gave him the medication. He took the pill and took a drink of water, and then suddenly threw the cup of water in my face and began hitting me. As he was flailing his arms, swinging at me, I grabbed him and we ended up on the ground because I tried to control him and we laid on the ground and I held his arms. And suddenly everything changed and the very atmosphere seemed different. Chester became very tense and his eyes turned solid white. And with a deep, monstrous voice, it said, "I'm not Chester, I'm Lee," as he let out a growl. I looked up at my partner and she was white as a ghost and frozen in place. Caught up in the moment, I said, "I don't care who you are. Calm down, you're not getting up until you stop." Lee then kneed me very hard in my back as I sat on top of him, trying to keep him from hurting himself or others, including myself. This went on for several moments before Lee or Chester went limp, and I could just imagine me getting thrown across the room or even worse. Chester's eyes then came back to normal, and then his innocent Mike Tyson sounding voice said, "I'm okay. I'm okay. Can I go to my room now?" Still in shock of what just happened, I sat there a minute, just trying to process. And then I said, "Yes," and I let him go to his room. My partner and I talked for a few minutes about the situation, and the best we can come up was that Lee was really short for Legion, the demon from the Bible. I began to hear stories of Chester and how he would attack stuff and how he once hit a female coworker as she walked around the corner with a hole punch. He hit her in the head so hard it almost knocked her unconscious. Lucky it did not kill her. Another time when Lee appeared. Six knots appeared on his forehead. His eyes turned pitch black. And yes, his voice changed into something unhuman. This was a lot to take in, especially since he appeared so innocent and his voice was so soft. Then something happened that changed my concept of reality. One evening, I was working in the same house that he was assigned. Chester was being loud in his room, which was located in the furthest back side of the home. I told my partner I'd go check on him, and this is where it gets strange. I walk into his room, and his bed is directly to my right, just inside the door. In the far left corner, about 10 feet away, is a dresser for his clothes and a small 12 to 15-inch TV that sat on top of it. Between the dresser and the door along the left wall is an open closet about 3 feet wide and a counter at the top to put things. This will be important later in the story. As I walk in, Chester's laying on his bed looking at me, and he has his good guy doll, and yes, it's the same one from the child play movies. He's laying beside him on his right side between him and the outside edge of the bed. His name was Buddy. And I said, "Chester, what are you doing making so much noise?" He replied, "It wasn't me. It was Buddy." I had heard he would blame his orneriness on the doll sometimes, so I figured I'd have some fun. Big mistake. I said, "Well, tell Buddy to stop. He needs to be quiet." And Chester let out a weird laugh as he looked at Buddy. And I asked, "What's so funny?" And Chester said, Buddy said, "You're a SOB. Of course, he said the real word, but I'm not going to say that on here. I had never heard Chester use profanities before, so I was taken aback. Then I made one of the worst mistakes of my life. Still thinking I'd have fun with this, I sat at the foot of Buddy and picked him up to talk to the doll. As soon as I touched the doll and looked in its cold, dark doll eyes, it felt like electricity was shot up my arm and through my entire body, and also it was like someone poured dry ice down my spine. There was nothing different about the appearance of the doll, but there was something definitely strange. All I could get out was, "Buddy, be good," as I dropped the doll and walked out of the room very quickly. My partner noticed something was wrong, and I probably looked like I'd seen a ghost, and she asked me what happened. Reluctantly, I told her, thinking she would assume I was crazy. She, in fact, did not, and then a huge thump came from Chester's room. We both went in this time, and she asked Chester what he was doing. Again, he blamed it on Buddy. She grabbed the doll and swatted its backside and said, "Buddy, in the closet," and walked across the room and tossed it up in the top of the closet. She walked out quickly, and once in the living room, we talked about what had happened. It was then I would understand why she didn't make me think I was crazy when I explained the first situation. She would tell me that strange things would happen around that doll, and that she thinks it had a demon attached to it, and yes, it was attached to Chester also. After I explained that, I still had the dry ice feeling down my spine and a feeling of something horrible, we concluded it was probably trying to attach itself to me or had already succeeded. By now, the sun had set and darkness engulfed the area. The only lights were on were the main lights in the living area. I called my father, who's a very strong Christian man, and I told him what happened, and we prayed that the spirit would leave me alone and be bound back to his host so that it wouldn't follow me home. I then walked back in the house and went to use the restroom, which is right across the hall around the corner from Chester's room. As I was washing my hands, the silence was broken by the most evil, inhuman shriek, laugh, scream sound that I have ever heard. It pierced my very soul. "Oh my God," I thought, "and it's coming from Chester's room." Instinctively, I knew I had to check on him, yet that sound and the events earlier had me tore up badly already, to be honest. I entered the hall, walked to my left, and took a sharp right around the corner, and to the left was the room, Chester's room. I slowly opened the door, and the slight white glow of the TV shone in the far left corner. I step in and look to the right and see Chester with glowing crystal blue eyes as the feeling of something alien filled the atmosphere. It stared straight into my soul. This was not Chester. His presence was not in that room at that moment. The breathing was that of an animal. The sensation it gave off was sheer evil, a presence that sent terror through the very foundation of my very being. It did not move, but its presence filled my body, ensuring that I knew that and made sure I understood that it was not human, but a demon. It wasn't like it was possessing me, but more making sure that I knew that it knew who I was and that I knew what I was dealing with. I slowly backed away, backing all the way into the living room. My partner was just finishing folding a load of clothes as I backed into the room. She said something like, "Hey, are you okay? What's going on?" At least that's what I think she said, because I was in shock at the moment. It took me several minutes to be able to tell her what had just happened. After a while, I calmed down enough to think properly. To change the subject, I asked whose clothes needed to be put away, and she reluctantly said, "Chester's." She said she would take them, but as terrified as I was, I would not let it get the best of me, so I told her I'd help. We walked into the room, and Chester was still in the same position and state that he was previously. He stared a hole through me as I walked across the room and put the clothes away in his dresser. As I neared the door to exit, we heard the most evil, scariest voice to this day I've ever heard say, "Good night, Sam." My partners exclaimed, "Shh," and we both scurried fast to the living room. Once there, she said, "That's the straight up devil." Needless to say, we're both pretty shaken up. About 30 minutes later, we're folding another client's clothes, and we hear footsteps coming down the hall. We both freeze and look at each other, not knowing who or what to expect, but deep down fearing the worst. The footsteps got closer and closer as our hearts raced faster and faster. Suddenly, Chester looks at me, his eyes no longer glowing, but his face was distorted and scary looking, and his innocent Mike Tyson voice asked, "When are you coming back to my house, Ryan?" I choke out, "Huh?" He again asked with an evil grin, "When are you coming back to my house?" I was able to choke out the words, "I'm not sure." And Chester let out a soft, evil laugh and said, "See you soon." And that is the conclusion of that particular story that time. So that was a little freaky.
A little? Yeah, that was a little freaky. I'll be honest with you, I would have quit right there. If he was like, "When are you coming back to my house, Lindsay?" I'd be like, "You know what? I have to leave. I gotta go right now, and that's never happening." That's so creepy.
Yeah, it was, and call it stubbornness or calling it, you know, male pride or whatever. I was not going to let whatever it was beat me or sleep. Because in my opinion, if you show fear, you give it control.
Yeah.
And even though it might be able to sense it, I wasn't going to let it see it. If that makes sense. So,
yeah.
I don't like to lose. So, in my opinion, I was like, I'm not letting this thing beat me. I can be terrified and shaken to my core, but I'm going to keep a straight face, and then I can shiver in the corner later.
Yeah, because I've always heard that, like, if you, as soon as you address it or show any kind of nervousness or fear, it just makes it worse. Right. Because it gets that emotion and knows that you know that it's there. I'm not sure. I don't think I know what kind of doll that was. Just the good guy doll. I don't think I ever watched that show. It's just
like the doll, like the Chucky doll, like off of Child's Play.
Oh, okay.
It looked like the good guy before he was possessed to become Chucky. It was just a normal, regular doll. And the thing about it was, it didn't look different. You know, when I looked at it, it did not look any different than a normal doll. I mean, the eyes were black, of course, and creepy like a regular doll.
Yeah.
But it was the feeling that was attached to it. As soon as I touched that doll, everything changed.
That's crazy. Like, I feel like I can picture this whole story in my head straight out of a horror movie. Absolutely. It makes you think of, like, Annabelle. Or, like, what is that other? Is it George the doll? Have you ever heard of this other doll? Is that his name, George the? I don't know why I'm thinking George.
I think there is a doll named that. I know there's Chucky. Then there's a doll that you're talking about. I can't remember the name. It might be George.
It reminds me of that.
Something, yeah.
Because in that case, the little boy was always like, no, it wasn't me. It was George. And then it turns out, like, it really was George just causing a ruckus.
And the crazy thing is when I don't talk about this stuff a lot because right now I still kind of sense that goosebumps. I feel the coldness on my spine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like opening up doors. So, you know, you attract things. So
yeah, you gotta be careful.
This is kind of crazy for me. I've told people in the past, but not to this degree. Right.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you get chills when you talk about something that's real.
Yeah.
So
it's just a different feeling. And I'm so glad that you wanted to come on here and tell those stories because they're so good. Like, I feel like you need to just write a whole book about your experiences at this job. Was there like a final moment that made you quit, or did you just end up finding something different and just having to leave?
There were a lot of situations that went into my decision of leaving. One of the clients, namely the one I just spoke about, became too violent and ended up getting hurt. And, you know, like in the thing, he went to attack another client while I was serving breakfast. And he had like a plate and a fork and stuff, and the client was at the side of him. And he went to attack him. So I just went to put my arm around him. And when I did, Chester moved. And when he jerked, the chair fell. So when the chair fell, he hurt his shoulder and his head, you know, and, you know, we took care of him the whole nine yards. You know, I'm like, hey, this is what happened. You know, everything is verified. I didn't want to be put in a situation to where I had to continue dealing with that. And plus, there were other instances that was happening when things are following you home, whenever, you know, you don't know when to walk around a corner. Because like I said, this is the same guy that you're walking around the corner, not know he's there. And he almost killed a lady with a hole punch. I mean, he just, and it happens that quick. I mean, one minute he's like, hey guys, how are you doing? And, you know, he's just Mickey Mouse, Mike Tyson. And then all of a sudden it's like, brah. And it's that quick.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't think I would have lasted very long at that job either.
Yeah, there were several other situations that happened. I think those two are pretty much the worst. There were other that were very, very freaky.
Yeah.
That, you know, I may tell at a later date. And I've also had other life experiences outside of that place, but not on that degree.
Yeah.
So.
I think we should definitely, like, come back and revisit if you want to tell those stories. I think it'd be really cool that, like, if we all each have our own episode, like, Mom can tell her paranormal experiences, I can tell some of mine, because I got a handful too, and I feel like these episodes, they're just more personable, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And lets everybody get to know us and some of the situations that we have found ourselves in over the years.
Right, you know, those are situations a lot of people never even think it's real. They never experience that, you know. And there are some people out there that are going to think, you know, and this is for your own understanding, you know, whether you believe me or not, these things really happen. So, you know, and I'm sure there are other readers and listeners out there that's had their own experiences.
Yeah.
And, you know, this comes up, you know, we have some episodes coming up about funeral homes and hospitals and things like that. Yeah. This is kind of like a segue into that, because a lot of people in medical professions or EMTs or anything like that, I'm sure they have their own type of experiences.
Probably have so many stories. But yes, absolutely, guys, if you have stories that are similar, or if you want to write in and tell us and have us read it on the show, just send it to sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. And as always, you can catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. You can watch us on YouTube. And then here's some links to our socials if you are watching on YouTube. On Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, we're at Sirens of the Supernatural. And then on TikTok, we are at Supernatural Sirens. So, Ryan, if you don't have anything else, I think this has been a good spooky episode.
Right. Yeah, this will freak some people out. And this will, you know, makes people realize that there's a world within a world, right? Just because you look and don't see anything doesn't mean that there's not something going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, and yeah, this is interesting. I look forward to hearing some readers and listeners. I'd love to hear some of their comments and love, I really want to hear some stories. You know, these things is what really got us started. So, you know, hopefully this can kind of put some people on the spot. You know, don't be afraid to say stuff. You know, if I can do this, you can do it. You know, if you call me crazy, I've been called worse things. So, you know, I'm good with that.
Yeah. And I feel like with the audience we have and so many other spooky podcasts, people love scary stories. I love a good scary story. So if you have one, definitely write in and we will read it out and it'll be a hit. I love a good scary story.
Right.
All righty. Well, I think that's all we have today. And next podcast, I think we are interviewing Coffin Talkin', which, like you said, is a guy that works in a funeral home and his daughter. And I think it's going to be very, very interesting. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So y'all make sure to tune in. And as always, we're just going to leave you with
stay spooky. Later, guys.
Bye.